God bless you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your giving. Let me give you instructions about this week. We are going to meet here every morning at 10, from 10 to noon for prayer. Just going to pray the new year in, and Barry's going to be here with us and give us a great word. And then we will have special prayer for needs that are happening in your life. God's given Barry Perez just a marvelous anointing in helping him. The Lord just downloads into his heart, into his life, some of the needs that we have in our lives. And so he's able to call those out, and God just does some amazing things. I've received a healing since he's been here in the past, and many of you have as well. We have wonderful stories of miracles and God's grace. So 10 to noon for those that can make it out in the morning, and then 6:30 to 8:30. We're going to go Monday through Friday. We're just going to ask God to break out. I don't know if you read my little blog or the Facebook post, but Perez means breakout. And so we're just believing that this is the time that this year God is going to break out. He's going to break forth. He's going to break through. How many of you need a breakthrough in your life? Amen. This is the time. God is going to do something so outstanding, and it's all going to start this morning. I'm so privileged, so honored to have my friend Barry Perez here, and I want you to just honor the Lord by giving him a wonderful Trinity welcome this morning.
You know, I was flying one time. I fly a lot. There was rough air, turbulence. Captain came on and he tried to assure all of us passengers. He said, "I assure you, everything is under control. Nothing can go wrong, go wrong, go wrong, go wrong." You know, I believe we are here for a time such as this. I've asked the Lord to allow weeks of meetings to go on, even two meetings a day. And I started praying that prayer last year. I did have 2 weeks of meetings in Vermont, one in the same church in April, and then again in September, another church in Wisconsin, but none of those meetings were two meetings a day. And when Pastor Randy called me a few months back, and we talked about starting the year out here at Trinity Life, a place where is very special to my heart, I was very excited. Because I do believe that God wants to revive His church. So often when we think about revival, we think about God bringing awakening to a region, to a whole area. And I think sometimes we don't understand that it's the church that needs to get revived. You see, revive means to bring back, to return, resuscitate. If you remember the book of Revelation, the Laodicean church had become lukewarm. And the Lord was knocking on the door. You remember He said these words, "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and we'll have intimacy. We will fellowship. We will sup together. Even the great Ephesian church in Revelation, they were known for being able to prove true apostles from false apostles. And yet, the Lord had a rebuke for this great, great church. He said, you've lost your first love. We look around today, there's a lot of lukewarmness. There's a lot of lost love. In fact, the Lord Jesus says these words, in the last days, the love of many, and the word there is agape, the love of many will grow cold. Listen, the world cannot have agape. He's talking about his people. We can become numb and callous, indifferent. And none of us in the pew or the pulpit are immune. You see, God wants to do a work in our hearts. Our heart's more than an organ. The heart is where we decide. It's where the decisions take place. And it's no accident that Pastor Jimmy said, open your hands. Let's open our hearts. We didn't discuss this. Open our eyes. Is that what we want? Do I want him sitting upon the throne called my heart? You see, nothing else really matters. At the end of this life, we're either going to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Or depart from me. I never knew you. Those are sobering words. You say, God knows everything. He knows my heart. Yes, he does. He knows the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. And so you see, honestly, from the pulpit to the pews, we need to ask this question. Where is my heart, Lord? Can't be in San Francisco. If it is, tell your heart to get back here. There's really no distance between heaven and the heart if we understand that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, we hear so much about our inward being. Love the Lord with all your what? Heart. With all your soul. And with all your strength. That is the first great commandment, isn't it? It's not a suggestion. God wants my heart. And if he has my whole heart, I have all of him. If I have all of him, I can never fail. Oh, there's possibility if I'm half-hearted. You know, the Bible says our hearts can go astray. Hebrews chapter 3. The writer to the Hebrews borrows from Psalm 95. And he talks about the people of God. He says this, their hearts always go astray. You see, if this is our desire, and it is, where we make decisions. You see, it's either my will or his will. Jeremiah 17:5 says that the person that departs in their heart turns from the Lord to to themselves. I don't have the answers. Jesus gives us a hint about this in his own life and ministry. He says, I can do nothing from my own accord. He says, the teachings or the doctrine, they're not mine. The works, I can only work the works of him that sent me. He says, I do the things that I see my Father doing. I say the things that I hear him say. Without you, Lord, I can do nothing. 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord, which is synonymous with the Spirit of God. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the whole earth. Why? That he might strongly support those whose hearts are completely his. When Saul, first king of Israel, was anointed by Samuel the prophet, and the oil covered his hair and his beard and his whole gown, the Bible says God gave him a new heart. He became another man. How's your heart? How's your heart? I say to my wife, honey, I love you with all my heart. See, half of my heart won't do in our marriage. And yet I tell you this, we have a greater marriage than the marriage between a man and a woman. We're looking to a celebration called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. Married to the Lord. God's heart and my heart. First book, and I'll close the service later on in Revelation. I'm not going to go all the way from Genesis to Revelation. I know some of my friends wonder. Listen to these words, Genesis chapter 6. This is what the Lord says in the 5th verse. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Let me just stop there. How many of you saw a little piece on the news over the last few days about Debbie Reynolds following the death of her beloved daughter? One day later, wasn't it? She wanted to be with her daughter. I was watching a doctor being interviewed. And the doctor was talking about how the heart is so connected to the mind or the brain. In fact, there are those in the medical community that will tell you that the heart is a second brain. That the heart does more than function. This wonderful, fearfully wonderful body that's made up. The respiratory and the circulatory system working together called the pulmonary system. The brain is so connected. Last church I pastored, we had 5 physicians in the church. I had one tell me, the heart is just like a brain. Doesn't the Bible say in Romans 10:9-10, we believe in our heart? I mentioned we can go astray in our heart. We can depart in our heart. We trust in our heart. Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. And lean not on your own understanding, but what? Acknowledge him in all of your ways. He'll direct your path. At the end of this message, I'm going to give you some anatomy in the Word. You reason in your heart. Mark chapter 2. The Pharisees and scribes, they're listening and watching Jesus as the man, the paralytic, is lowered down before him, paralyzed. Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. You remember that? They never said a word, but they reasoned in their hearts, he's a blasphemer. And the Bible says that Jesus knew what they were reasoning. And he said, why do you reason this in your hearts? And he says, to show you that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins, he healed the paralytic. But I want to tell you something. He didn't win over their hearts. Because a short time after that, in a synagogue, some of those same leaders who knew the first five books by heart, Genesis, Exodus, right? Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, knew it by heart. Jesus says, is it right to do good, to heal on the Sabbath? They didn't say a word. And the Bible says he looked at them with anger. Of course, he healed the man with a withered hand. And right on the heels of that, they planned to kill him. The same ones that would say, give us a sign, give us a sign, give us a sign. He said, it's an evil generation that looks for a sign. And he was talking about not believers, he was talking about those that had made up their mind. Don't believe it. Not going there. See, we reason in our minds. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It's alive. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow of the bone, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And it's complicated. Where does the soul start? Where does the mind come in? Tell me about the heart. Where are the emotions involved? And you see, they're so intertwined. But we know that the heart is the core of our being. And I'm talking spiritually. I'm talking about this second brain and this decision-making process. What's going on in your heart right now? I hope you're doing an inventory. God, I don't want to just honor you with my lips. Remember Jesus said that? These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are from far from me. See, out of our heart flow what? The issues of life. Life and death. You usually want to know what someone truly believes. It'll come out of their mouths from their heart. Evil proceeds from the heart, doesn't it? Isn't that what he says, out of the mouth? The heart speaks. Good comes out. Blessing comes out. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. See, the issues of life come from the heart. Guard your heart. Protect your heart. The pure in heart see God. God, I want my heart to be right. I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to play games. And I don't believe anybody in this house today wants to play games, or you would not be here. Anybody ever go for a heart checkup? Sure. I was talking to a lady the other day. I was getting ready to play golf, and a lady, starter, she was telling me about her husband just got a pacemaker. She was talking about how irritable he is. Have you ever grieved in your heart? You ever had your heart broken in such a way that it ached? What's the symbol of love? Help me here. It's the heart, isn't it? Yeah. You know, adultery happens in the heart. David was a man after God's own heart. God told Saul through the prophet Samuel, he says, I have sought for a man after my heart. He's talking about Dave, wasn't it? You know, David. And in Acts 13:22, that's defined. David was a man after God's own heart. He wanted to do all God's will and not my will, not my thing, but your way, your word. Didn't Jesus pray that? Not my what? Will, but your will be done. You see, happens in the heart. Happens in the heart. You know what? God says he wants to give us a new heart. If you got a hard heart, that can change. Take out a heart of stone. Put in a heart of flesh. All kinds of soil, aren't there? Remember the hard soil in the parable of the sower? Just like a rock. You can say it, the word can come, but nothing there. It bounces right off. Birds came and just, no germination, no possibility. Shallow heart, cluttered heart. But you see, it's the soft heart. It's the receptive heart that can be fruitful, productive, 30, 60, 100-fold. I want to tell you, we hear with our hearts. We see with our hearts. You remember when David went astray? Got up that morning, went out onto the balcony. Of course, his wife despised him. Michael or Michal despised him in her heart. Because David danced before the Lord, remember, in his linen ephod. He had his hands all over. She said, how undignified. What did Dave say? I'll be even more undignified than that. Don't know what he had in mind. But she despised him in her heart. You know, I mean, really. He's not having intimacy at home. He comes, you know, he comes out on the balcony and there she is, right? Bathsheba? I want to tell you something, especially I say this to the men. Learn to look away. Wasn't that an old song? Look away, look away. Learn to look away. Turn the other way. He didn't. And all you can justify it. Mama despises me. And he went after Bathsheba. Led to deception, to murder. Doesn't murder happen in the heart? Come on, help me. If we hate somebody in our heart, it's like murder. Adultery happens. It happened in David's heart. But you remember when he repented. Repentance means I'm going to change the way I think. And we can start that right now. I want to change the way I think, God. I want to go in your direction and not my direction. Your will, not my will. And he said, create in me what? A clean heart. Renew in me a willing spirit. See, the heart can change just like that. Just like that. That's good news. Let me read that again. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And look at this. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on earth, and he was grieved in his heart. God's heart, man's heart. And the two shall become one. I'm as David leading us in the worship about intimacy, right? Being one with God, having a passion for God, because God has a passion for us. Aren't you glad he's not half-hearted toward us? He's withheld no good thing from us. That requires a response. Wholehearted devotion. I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I give you my thoughts. Oh God, change my heart. I remember I was ministering in Venezuela a number of years ago, and this song by Integrity Hosanna kept playing in my mind. And Lord, purify my heart. Cleanse me, Lord, I pray. Remove everything that's standing in the way of your love. You see, we can only truly fulfill that second great commandment, love our neighbor as ourselves, if it's through his love. I realize how much he loves me, how much he's forgiven me, how much mercy he has shed abroad. I can't help but love even mean people. How many of you are on Facebook? This is not a trick question. A lot of you aren't. You're not raising your hand. Thank you. Thank you. I don't want to be your friend on Facebook. All right, so relax. But one of these mornings, I was feeling so overwhelmed by the mercy of God that he forgave all my sin. Just like declared by a pastor this morning. Past, present, future. Cleaned my slate. I was feeling very romantic and overwhelmed with love that morning. About a year and a half ago, and I just wanted to tell my 1,400 friends how wonderful God's love was. And I said, oh, his love is amazing. We get to love bad people. We get to love mean people. I got 3 likes. He didn't say we had to do that. I want to tell you, we love because he first loved us. Unconditionally. No soft lighting, no beautiful music in the background. He loved us while we were yet sinners in rebellion. He loved us and gave himself for us. One of those times I was overwhelmed with the love of God, it was right here, October 2015. Pastor Barbara, she had our prayer advance. Do you remember Saturday morning when I stood up here? It started during the worship at 8 o'clock in the morning. Saturday morning, I started weeping right over here. Couldn't stop. Because I told the Lord, God, I want to love mean people. You know, God doesn't even take pleasure in the death of a wicked person. And I want to love mean people because I didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve God giving his best for the worst. And I want your heart. I want to look at people with compassion. I mean, I don't look like a tender person, do I? I mean, I may not come across sensitive, but I want to tell you something. I love people. mean people, bad people. What Jesus did, folks. Jesus did. You know that telling scripture in Matthew 7? Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Lord. But I prayed the prayer February 1st, 1972. But he who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. Isn't that what it says, Pastor? The will of my Father who's in heaven. And that day they'll say, well, we cast out devils in your name, right? Come on. He says, depart from me, I never knew you. You say, but wait a minute. God knows my heart. God knows everything. Do you let him have intimacy with you? I heard that defined years ago. I preached it in this pulpit before. Intimacy. You say, but he sees it all. But do you let him rearrange your furniture? Change me. Rearrange me. I don't get in arguments about, eternal security. I feel very secure. I know in whom I believed. I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed until that day. I don't believe in now he loves me, now he doesn't, now I'm saved, now I'm not. But Paul writes these words in the epistles. I was saved. You'll also look at this in your concordance. I am being saved. And I will be saved. You see, it's not a, hey, how you doing? Pray a prayer. See ya. I think there's a relationship. Y'all are excited this morning, aren't you? I told you Revelation, didn't I? Let's go there. Chapter 4. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Listen, this is a calculator up here. It's good. A lot of you people are intelligent. I'm not that intelligent. That's not a personal put down. We think, but we do right here also. Here's where I believe we need to renew our minds, right here. The heart needs to be a filter with the throne in place. Come boldly into the throne room of grace. I don't believe I have to pass through to the third heaven to get into that throne room of grace. There's a throne room here. The Quakers had it right when they said, we center down. The Lord alluded to this when he said, when you pray, go into the closet. How many of you saw War Room? Great movie, wasn't it? Thank God for that room. But I want to tell you, this is the room, saints, right here. Anytime, any place. Go boldly. Where? Into the throne room of grace. It's right here. See, I don't have to pass through two other heavens to get to the third heaven. And the believers in the Hebrews, they were beckoned and begged, come into the throne room of grace. It's a place. It's a person. It's a privilege. Revelation chapter 4. John encounters the throne room. Notice verse 1. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. The first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, I will show you things which must take place after this. I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne. A throne. Now look at this. It's absolutely amazing. He who sat there was like a jasper, a sardis stone in appearance. There was a rainbow around the throne and appearance like an emerald. And around the throne were 24 elders. And on the thrones I saw 24 elders seating, clothed in white robes. They had crowns of gold on their heads. I want to tell you something, folks. This is more than an organ. It's a throne. Do you know how many ribs you have? 24. Of course, Adam had 23. You've got 24 ribs unless you've had one removed or two. There's more. From the throne proceeded lightnings. You know, have you electrical impulses in your heart? Are you a doctor, sir? All right, you're a believer, but are you a believing doctor? Okay. EKG will tell you about those electrical impulses in the heart. Same meetings in Vermont. Billy, probably late 30s, 38, 39 years old. His aunt pestered him to come to these meetings Sunday morning. He's not a believer. You're a believer, thank God. I had a word of knowledge about someone with a spiritual and physical heart that God wanted to restore. When I gave that invitation, Billy came up. And I tell you, Pastor Randy, it was amazing. I'm watching this guy, and it's like the paddles are hitting him, jolting him. He falls on the floor. I didn't push him down. I talked to him after he received Christ and got a new heart. And I said, "What is it about your physical heart?" And he said that he had been monitoring for a year because he would wake up every night profusely sweating and his heart was stopping. He said, not only that, he said, every day when I work, I have to stop several times a day, four or five times a day, because I'm just exhausted. There's something called congestive heart failure, where they say part of the heart is dead. He came back Sunday night. He came Monday night. I talked to him before the service. He said, for the first time in over a year, I slept all night. I worked all day. I wasn't tired one time. The end of the week, this is what he said. He said, God gave me a new spiritual heart and a new physical heart. And he has been validated in his healing by the medical community. He got both. Thunderings. You see that? Lightnings and thunderings. The Hebrew word for heart is leb. Put that stethoscope on the chest. Leb, leb. Leb, leb. Leb, leb. Leb, leb. Sounds very similar to that. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Seven spirits. You know, the pulmonary system. I talk about the, you know, the respiratory and the circulatory working together. Do you know your trachea looks just like a tree trunk? And these parts of the trees go down into the lungs. You know, Pastor had us breathing, saying the name of Yahweh. Spirit is Ruach, breath of God. The great hymn, breathe on me, breath of God. Resuscitate me. We're fearfully and wonderfully made, dear saints. Do you know the tree of life in Revelation chapter 22 proceeds from the throne? Healing in the leaves. Fruitfulness. In fact, Yahweh means the presence of the source of life and light. Seven lobes our body has. Not only that, look at these four living creatures. They're the ones we see in Isaiah chapter 6. We see them again in Ezekiel. In Isaiah, they're saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, heaven and earth are filled with your glory. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name." His name is his presence. His name is his nature. Your kingdom, what? Come. Your kingdom manifest. Your will, not my will, but your will be done. Where? Right here. In me, through me, around me, God. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Four living creatures. You know, you have four valves. They have a sound when they open and close. Worthy, 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 worthy. My friends, that's why the fool says in his heart, Psalm 14:1, there is no God. Every time we breathe, we come very close to saying, Yahweh. There's a throne here. You see, if something else is on the throne, I want it off. See, as much as I love my wife, she can't be on that throne. We'll be married 50 years this year, November 10th. I can't imagine life without her. But if, he's got to be enough. If she's on the throne and she goes, I might not go very far after her. Who's on the throne? Nothing can abdicate the throne. I can't be on that throne except to be raised and be seated with him. Do you know something? All his enemies are underfoot. All of his enemies. All of his enemies are your enemies. That's why you want him on the throne. The earth is his footstool. And we're raised to be seated with him in heavenly places. He's the centrality. He's the focus. And we get to be there with him. Enemies underfoot. I think that's in here. And I think wherever we go, when that is true and there's harmony, the God of peace crushes Satan under our feet. And notice it's the God of peace and not the God of noise. Wherever we walk in peace, because there's peace in our hearts, there's love in our hearts, there's gentleness, goodness, kindness, and meekness in our hearts, there's self-control in our hearts, enemy falls by the wayside. Let's bow our heads. God, we open our hands. We open our hearts. And Lord, Father knows best. I don't. We want your will and not our will. Your way, your word, and not our way. But Lord, we want you on the throne. You said, as many as received you, to those you give the power to become sons of God, even to those who believe in your name. I want you to do me a favor this morning. If your heart has not been his throne where he's seated upon it, I want you to lift your hand up right now before God and before this preacher. I see hands. Just keep them up a minute. Would you do that? Thank you, Lord. Now, I'd like for you to be bold enough to stand to your feet as you've lifted your hand. Do that, would you? Go ahead. Stand up. Go on. It's all right. God says, if you'll acknowledge me before man, I'll acknowledge you before my Heavenly Father. So, God, we thank you that you said that if we confess you as Lord, just say this, Jesus, you're my Lord. You are my Savior. You took all of my sin, all guilt and all shame, past, present, and future. And I want you alone on the throne of my heart. I don't want things to be there. So, Lord, take your place. I believe that you rose from the dead. Lord, that you defeated sin and the grave and death. And I put my faith in you. I'm forgiven of all my sin. Because that's what you said and that's what you did. Take my heart. Your home. In your name, Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Put your hands together and just praise God for all these decisions. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We honor you, Jesus.
Praise you, Father. Barry's going to come back in a minute. We're going to receive an offering. We're going to dismiss. And then anybody that would like special prayer will be down here in the altars to have that prayer for you. So, ushers, if you'll come at this time, this is a love offering for Barry Perez and Harvest Time Ministry.